Welcome back to Even More News. My name is Katie Stoll.
And here's Even More News. My name is Cody Johnston.
And today, we're not going to wish you a happy 9/11.
Happy 9/11. Oh, we're not.
No, but today does mark 17 years since 9/11. Or, as the president would say, 17 years since 9/11.
Yeah.
If you guys saw that tweet.
Yeah, he was very excited to announce how long it had been.
Yeah, he was probably exclaiming it as he fist bumped his way into the 9/11 memorial.
Oh yeah, there's that photo. He's going to a speech to give a speech to victims of 9/11, and he it's one of those like both fists are clenched, and he's doing that like rock and roll face. Like White Snake just started his song, and he's like, "Yeah,
it's really embarrassing."
Any song by White Snake, it is very embarrassing. Everyone around him looks very solemn.
He's pumped for it. He is pumped for a happy 9/11.
Right. That's the that's a frustrating and adorable thing about him.
Adorable.
Yeah, he's pumped all the time to do anything that's like.
And bad?
He gives a speech. He's like, yeah, I'm doing president stuff. Like, he's a big boy.
Well, I think
and he's very proud of being a big boy.
He secrets his way into everything, you know? He's got the right mm-hmm. attitude. It depends on it. You might call it a lie. He might call it manifesting his reality.
Manifesting his own reality. You know,
maybe we should take a card from him. A card? A cue?
A cue.
I don't want to take either. Yeah, so that happened.
Yeah, I think it's important, though. I haven't watched or listened to his speech.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's given it at this point yet.
I'm sure he has.
I do think it's important to mention the four things he's ever said about 9/11.
Yeah.
One is that he was there and he helped a little bit.
Yeah, he has said that he cleared debris and rescued people.
These are all on camera things that we can watch. He helped clear little debris. He was there and mm-hmm. he helped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two is that he saw hundreds of Muslims on rooftops in New Jersey celebrating.
That's right.
Which he saw because he was there. In New York, mm-hmm.
and he is a trustworthy source. As we established.
He was helping.
He was there. He saw the Muslims.
He saw them in New Jersey from Ground Zero, where he was could helping.
See, well, he's got the best vision of all time.
I have heard that.
So it checks out to me mm-hmm. that he could see it from where he was.
Yeah,
at Ground Zero.
That's what
helping
doctors
out.
Say. I've heard mm-hmm. that from doctors about him and his
It's
eyes.
Medically impossible, except for Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, most things are. So the third thing is that now that the Twin Towers are destroyed, mm-hmm. His building is the tallest in New York City.
Okay, he said that.
That is also something he said. We don't have video of that, but we do have video of the audio of that.
Video of the audio?
Yeah, like there's a video you can mm-hmm. watch that
has
a,
audio.
A photo of him as the audio plays when he's on the news. So I'm not sure if he made that call, like that was, I think, on the day of, maybe it's the day after. So I'm not sure if he was calling from Ground Zero where he was helping.
Oh, right, sure.
Or if he was calling from ground like 12, I guess, where he could see New Jersey from.
From his, right. I mean, yeah, it makes sense that he'd be at Ground Zero measuring mm-hmm. to see whose is the tallest building.
Yes.
You know?
Well, which building has asbestos, which doesn't? Those are the ones that stay.
Well, then there's that. That's the other thing that he said about 9/11.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it today, but I only knew about it because of you telling me at some point. So you're welcome to tell the story. And
hey, why don't you tell the story that I told you?
I don't remember the story, just the thing that he said.
That's fine.
Well, I don't have it in front of me, so why don't you just do it?
Oh, because I'm in front of you.
Because you're in front of me and not the words. So you tell us what he said about asbestos.
Okay, well, he loves it. He's a big fan. He thinks that asbestos was gotten rid of because of the mob, the mafia.
Uh-huh.
Because he thinks that some of them were like contractors to remove asbestos from
right.
buildings. And he thinks it was a hoax. Mm-hmm. By the mob to get deals so they could remove it, and it has nothing to do with the health of human beings. But he thinks that if the Twin Towers had asbestos, then they wouldn't have fallen.
I have the actual quote now
Thank
in front
goodness.
Of me, and it was a tweet to somebody.
Hell yeah!
If we didn't remove incredibly power fire retardant asbestos and replace it with junk that doesn't work, the World Trade Center would never have burned down. So that's a theory.
That's one theory.
Of
yeah.
his.
It's not quite as like involved as like an entire like loose change.
Sure.
Is another theory about 9/11 that I'm not like promoting. I'm just saying that that's It's like a conspiracy documentary you find on.
Yeah, yeah. You got your loose changes. You got your Donald Trump's asbestoses.
Yeah, you got a lot of theories.
You got a lot of theories circulating.
9/11.
One thing that's not a theory, though, is Hurricane Florence.
Oh, I was going to say it's not a theory that it was 17 years ago.
Oh, that it was 17 years ago. That's a smarter thing.
That's a smart fact.
I was focused on the transition.
Sure.
And you were focused on facts. And you know what? Honestly, both are valid.
Well, facts don't care about your transitions, Katie.
But they should.
They should.
Because that's how we get to further facts.
It's true.
Hurricane Florence. I'm sure you guys know about this. When it hit North Carolina on Thursday, I think like 1.5 million people have been evacuated. Yeah, you guys, if any of you guys are out there, be safe and all that. But don't worry, because our president held a press conference today. And he said that the U.S. response in Puerto Rico was incredibly successful. So, again, what he says is true.
Mm-hmm.
He manifests that reality. So I think everybody's overreacting and you're going to be fine.
I think they'll take care of it all really well.
I do too.
Actually, I mean, I do think they'll probably take care of it better than
Puerto
Rico, because it's...
obviously.
Yeah, for many reasons.
No, it's going to be more comparable to Harvey.
Yeah, but he won't claim it was good and then forget about it.
Yeah.
And he'll actually know that North Carolina is a part of the United States instead of slowly discovering
that
Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
No, I mean, it does seem so far that they're doing the right things and getting people safe. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm not on the ground there. I mostly wanted to talk about it just to mention it. And also this other great quote.
Mm-hmm.
Another great quote.
Great quotes with Donald Trump.
Wow, things are going great.
Another going great.
And he described Florence as tremendously big and tremendously wet. So,
So he
stay
sees,
dry, y'all.
So he sees himself in the hurricane.
He sees himself in the hurricane, and that's why he's going to take better care of it, I think.
I mean, that's funny, because also, like he said, he's tremendously big and tremendously wet. A tremendous storm, I believe.
A tremendous storm.
Something like the third. He said tremendous three times.
It just goes along with him being pumped about everything.
He's pumped about everything. He only knows three different words.
Yeah.
And he just he releases these photos of like, oh, we're getting reports in constantly. We're watching the situation. And it's him and Mike Pence at his desk doing like a photo op. And on the desk are just like photos of like a storm.
Like, wait, really?
Yeah,
I
mean,
see this.
It's like you know, like what you'd see on the Weather Channel. It's like,
yeah,
this is how big the storm is. But like, the president doesn't literally need to know like the exact details of the storm. And like, that's the stuff that it's so.
No, they just said print up something that's storm related.
Yeah,
so we can have it on his desk.
We got to look like we're working on the storm.
Otherwise, they'll know that all that's inside is candy.
Right, exactly.
The desk, not the storm.
Yes, of course. Each drawer of the desk has a different type of candy.
I think they're mostly hard candies.
Mm-hmm. There are different
because
kinds of hard
candies. Because the salty caramels get stuck in his dentures.
Mm. Oh, and then that's
or
why
at least his molars, you know, and it pulls them out.
And that's why he can't say anonymously.
That's why he can't say anonymous.
Brief detour. That clip of him saying anonymous twice. It's very interesting because you can see in his eyes that he knows that he said it wrong, and he tries again and he does it again. And I just wonder how was his brain working and what was
going on? Well, it wasn't, Cody.
Sure,
that's,
but like, why?
Well, because he's an old fart.
Oh.
And his gas got backed up and it came out of his mouth.
His gas got stuck in his teeth and he tried to let it out.
A little dirtier than I normally go.
Yeah, you're going a little blue there.
A little blue.
Yeah.
Too bad.
It's the hurricane stuff is just interesting. Well, because also, I mean, one thing that I
see a note that you have here for me.
Yeah, South Carolina isn't evacuating the prisons.
What the fuck?
Even though, you know, it's recommended that everyone evacuate. And so there are like hundreds of prisoners that are going to be like stuck there. And who knows what's going to happen. And I don't think listeners of this podcast would be like, well, they did the crimes. They're going to get stuck in a storm.
Yeah, I think that our...
But, you know, there are people that are out there thinking that thing. They think that about anyone in prison.
You could ensure their safety and also still keep them guarded.
Interesting.
You know?
You could also deal with something like an issue like that. Like, that's the kind of thing you'd want to see on the president's desk.
Yeah.
Like a memo, like, Mr. President, the storm is coming and South Carolina isn't evacuating these prisoners, so they're going to be stuck there.
Yeah.
And then maybe he would deal with that. You don't need to see the president with just a picture of a storm on his desk because he's not a weatherman. And if I want to know the weather,
Cody,
I'm going to look at the weather.
He's obviously looking at this from a tactical perspective. Where can we attack the storm? Using Space Force, probably.
Oh.
You know, where can we contain it and harness it? How can we own that bitch?
How do we
How do we become the storm? Mm. Everything's connected, actually.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it was a little.
Yeah, no, this is all...
Now I'm getting conspiracy.
Now we're in QAnon territory.
And it's scary out here.
It's spooky out here in the storm.
It's cold.
Yeah, it's calm right before it.
There are other things to talk about.
No, there are no other things. Yeah, we can move on. But I just think it's just one of those frustrating things where he loves the idea of being a president and going on and cheering himself on when he's going to give a 9/11 speech, announcing on Twitter, it has been 17 years since 9/11.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. I think there were two maybe in there. Maybe just one. But like, he thinks he is a special man for saying the most basic things or doing the most basic presidential tasks. And he thinks a president's job during a hurricane is to let people know how fast the winds are. But I don't think that's true.
Oh, I always got my weather reports from Obama.
Did I do weather wrong?
What?
Have I been doing weather wrong?
Yeah, you have been. Well, to be fair, it's 100 degrees and Cody wore a sweatshirt here. So yeah, I think you do weather wrong.
Doing great.
We're doing great. Moving right along, let's talk about the International Crime Commission.
Oh, good.
Love talking about crimes. Yeah. No, I think we should talk about this situation because this happened... God, yesterday. But it seems like it's another one of those stories that kind of gets glossed over. Like, we all were kind of aware that it was happening, but other stuff is happening. So if you didn't know, on Monday, John Bolton threatened sanctions against the ICC if they dared to prosecute any American citizens or any of our allies. And he said that the United States will use any means necessary to protect our citizens and those of our allies from unjust prosecution by this illegitimate court. And also, we will do the same for any company or state that assists an ICC investigation of Americans. So that's cool.
Well, that sounds like, just like we're innocent of war crimes.
It sounds like that.
No, however, no, that we're done. That case has been closed. But
I think that what's important, and if we're being fair and balanced,
is our innocence
here,
from the war crimes.
Absolutely. But if we're being balanced, is that this was prompted because the prosecutor of the ICC, Fatou Bensouda, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, called for an investigation of the U.S. war crimes, and specifically in Afghanistan. Mm. She did this actually back in November, but she said that there is reasonable basis to believe that war crimes and crimes against humanity have been committed in connection with the armed conflict in Afghanistan, and that meticulous preliminary examination had led her to the conclusion that all legal criteria to commence an investigation have been met. So that's...
I don't know. That's
the reason.
A 17-year war. There's no, like, war crimes during a 17-year war. That sounds pretty far-fetched.
Well, does it, though?
17 years? That's a long time.
I mean...
You know?
It is a very long time. I mean, that's... water in the bridge, but under the bridge by this point. I don't know why everyone can't just chill out.
Yeah, just let us do the war forever.
Just let us do the war forever. It's best for... everybody. I'm just kidding. I don't even want to do that bit anymore because I don't want the war crimes.
You don't want the war crimes.
Gonna say something else, but then I lost my train of thought. The other thing that they announced separately but at the same time is that they are closing our Palestinian diplomatic office in DC because the U.S. will not allow the ICC or any other organization to constrain Israel's right to self-defense. And I'm just talking, but it's a lot of information. The PLO immediately came back that, you know, Trump's administration is just blindly executing Israel's wish list and shutting down Palestinian diplomat by doing this.
I mean, they cut funding.
And yes. Right? Like, and like, that's actually true. They are fulfilling Israel's wish list. And just this weekend, yeah, they're redirecting the funding that they had to the East Jerusalem hospitals that was promised under the Palestinian aid package. And it's just hard to see the fairness or of any of this.
I mean, yeah, it's a long line of things that, I mean, he's definitely been doing. When they move the embassy, you know, the UN overwhelmingly said, no, this is not, this is not valid. This is a null and void decision.
And that's when we left the UN Human Rights Council.
Right. And so, like, that is just... And like Trump and Israel specifically, obviously he's doing all these things and sort of ignoring the Palestinian struggle there. But that's also like American pastime. I think it was like early 90s, Bill Clinton said almost the exact same thing about their basically when the UN made a resolution calling Israel's occupation, you know, illegal, which it seems to still be like a sticking point in only America specifically. Like if you mention Israel and how their settlements are illegal, like international consensus, it's illegal. It's only a problem here.
Yeah.
When you talk about that. But Bill Clinton called that UN resolution obsolete and anachronistic, basically to allow him to do whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just another way of saying there's no international law. We're not going to follow your international laws. It's similar when like that clip I think I've shown before of Dave Rubin talking about war crimes.
Yeah.
Like, there's no rules to war. Yeah, there are. There are international laws about war, right. Dave. Like, that's why we're talking about war crimes right now.
Right.
And, like, the U.S. historically, forever, but even, you know, especially in the modern era, like, after the World War II, like, it applies to everybody but us. Every single president has done war crimes and could be prosecuted.
Well, right. And so that.
We do not recognize them.
I was surprised that the ICC was so new. It was founded in 2002, actually. And there's always been a lot of resistance from United States presidents. Always, we've had a couple presidents since then. Bush signed it, then unsigned it, and Bolton was working with Bush when this was happening, and he didn't want it to happen then.
Yeah.
And then Obama, I believe, did, but has undermined it at times.
Right.
And there is a law that was passed around the same time that means that American presidents can do what they need to do to protect their national security over that. That said, we also haven't flat out come out and pushed and tried to take our allies away from it. We haven't tried to undermine it in that kind of a way. You haven't, you know, say that it's all fabrications and lies, because this is what this is the governing body. This is the court that we need in order to, you know, maybe prosecute Assad or bring justice for the Rohingya in Myanmar, you know?
We use it to justify our wars and the things that we do and our decisions.
But not take any responsibility for ourselves.
To our own advantage when it fits our needs. But even like when the UN called for sanctions against South Africa for, you know, their apartheid regime, it was basically the same thing.
Yeah.
The US was like, no, the UN, their vote doesn't matter. It doesn't make any bit of a difference. We're not going to do that. So like, it's just a pick and choose situation, and we're allowed to because we have so many military bases around the world.
Okay, is there anything else you want to say about international war crimes and our
stop doing them?
Yeah, that's a good
but also recognize that we do them all the time.
Yeah, I think,
and that we're like every president we've had,
yeah,
every one of them partakes in this kind of behavior.
I think
the Trump, like, the only way to sort of deal with the Trump stuff as it comes out is to recognize it and condemn it,
but also
recognize that it's just how it is. Like, he is not unique. He's just worse and bad in certain ways, but he also hasn't started two wars yet, so maybe Bush
not
is
yet
still a little worse.
We'll see. But I think that's something that we all should consider more often as well. We do this everywhere. We make enemies. We've done terrible things that people don't pay attention to or acknowledge, in addition to the stuff that we do pay attention to and acknowledge.
Yeah, and we're constantly interfering and intervening, and you know, there's so many acts of aggression that we, the United States, partaken in, and that's just a terrorism that we don't call terrorism because it's easy to not view it as that and to sort of separate, like, well, no, terrorism is when, like, you know, people in caves bomb buildings and stuff. No, we terrorize
is doing drone strikes
the people, like, often the people we drone strike ignoring the fact that we kill civilians that are around.
Yeah.
No, but not even that, like, many people with drone strike are, they're not like, they haven't been, you know, through a court. They're being targeted because they will potentially do harm to us.
Right.
It's like pre-crime sentencing to death by a drone.
Yeah.
And the people around you.
Okay, I think that we both should take a little break and then we'll be back for more news. For even more news.
Yes. Today's episode of Even More News is brought to you by rugs to your door or some shit.
Rugs to my door and some shit.
Or fucking...
some shit?
You need some pillows? You need, I don't know, juice? Juice on the go. The app. You just download it and people will send you whatever the fuck you want.
If I download Juice on the Go, the app, will I get rugs to my door and shit?
If you use promo code rugs and stuff and shit, to your door. Whatever you need. Are you a podcast listener?
As it turns out, I am.
Do you want something delivered to your door that normal people don't get delivered to their door?
Yeah, because I'm special.
Okay, well, if you download this particularly special app, you just sort of pick what you want. You want, like, socks that are, like, fit you?
Not really.
Okay, do you want, like a necklace that's been measured by holding up your phone to your face?
Only if it's not too heavy, because I think a heavy necklace hurts my neck after, like, an hour of wearing it. You know, Cody.
I do. You're in luck, because this particular special app, you can choose heavy necklace or not heavy necklace.
Wowee!
And it comes to your door every day, and then they clean it for you the next day, and they deliver it back to you. And then, like, I don't know, like, coffee that you make at home, but it's like an app.
This is amazing. Life-changing, even.
Yeah, use promo code, I got money to spare. Give me a new app that I can spend money on to get stuff delivered to my home.
And we're back.
Good.
Thanks to our sponsors, as always.
Also Patreon, all of our patrons.
Thank you so much to our patrons.
Yeah.
But we've got even more news to discuss.
Good.
Let's talk about Serena Williams, because the internet is just on fire talking about Serena Williams, so we should do that too.
Okay.
So we can put it in the title somehow.
Oh, good. This episode is only about Serena Williams and that's the controversy, like,
about. That just teases our thoughts but makes jokes somehow and draws people in so they download it.
What are our thoughts that we can tease?
I don't know.
You have no opinion about
I've
this?
I've got no opinion. No, of course I have an opinion.
Why don't you describe
the situation? I'll explain what happened. Over the weekend, guys, Serena Williams lost to Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open final after the umpire penalized her for being coached, because I guess her coach gave some hand signal and you're not allowed to coach if you're the coach in a game.
I don't follow, but go on.
Yeah, there's a rule that during tennis, the coach can't coach. They're on their own.
Is there also a rule that there are no rules?
Well, yeah, it's like NAM out there.
Oh, God. All right. Speaking of war crimes.
Right, what, isn't that the Big Lebowski? There are rules. No, there are rules. This isn't NAM or something like that.
I don't know. I'm just saying war crime stuff.
NAM, Walter. There are rules or something to that effect. Anyway, that's correct. There are rules in tennis. And then she also argued with him, to be fair, and she threw her racket down. Because this was universally seen as a bad call. Technically, that is the rule, but most judges don't enforce it. In fact, they hadn't been enforcing it throughout that match when Naomi's coach had been coaching.
Right on.
And throughout the tournament, and a lot of professional tennis players came out saying that this is totally wrong. I don't remember their names because I'm not a tennis connoisseur.
McEnroe.
Sure.
He's
Andy. Whatever. We are sports people. You know, they just, people's coming out and saying, like, I've done worse than this and I've never been penalized
like this. Frustration was justified.
And then she got frustrated and threw her racket on the ground and she lost the game because of this. She also got fined $17,000, which is crazy to me. That's crazy to me. That's so much money. And it's really sad because, well, not only is there all this controversy, Naomi is a She's 20 years old, young tennis player. She really worships Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. And this is her big moment. And not only is everybody like angry at her kind of, or like angry at the situation, like in her mind, she knows it too. Like she knows that, I mean, maybe she would have won fair and square. You know what I mean?
Right,
without
from
this.
From now on, that win is taken.
It's like that umpire could have done the same thing to her, you know?
Right.
So it sucks. And the internet is just ugly This is the kind of story that people love to just get all up in it.
How dare you insult the internet?
Well, I'm not insulting you.
Which is hideous.
You are allowed to insult it, but not me. And then there was that terrible cartoon that an Australian tabloid put out that is very, very racist.
Interesting.
And sexist. Mm. And it depicts her in a really unflattering way, doing a big hissy fit temper tantrum, and it's ugly, and they stand by it. And again, that's another thing for people to debate about whether or not it's racist when it's so blatantly racist.
Right. I've seen that cartoon, and it is. And I've seen it enough where, like, it's one of those things that happens where you're like, why are we spending a day arguing with these people?
Right.
Like, what, why, like, just, like, why is this how we spend our time now?
It's just a use of time that isn't productive. And yet we all do it because we want to stand up and we want to say, no, this is bad, this is wrong. And that's true. We need to do that. But it takes up so much of our time that now we're not talking about the fact that there are still migrant kids detained. You know,
right?
There's that.
Or the president might help stage a military coup in Venezuela.
Or that, you know, any number of things.
And like, it's just one of the, like, a thing happens, and instead of talking about, like, yeah, the unfortunate situation with the match, or like the double standard with her and other players or anything like that, it's like, oh, now we got to talk about this fucking racist cartoon.
And that really has, yes.
And last I checked, that person's Twitter account did no longer exist.
Yeah, he deactivated it. But yeah, that has kind of taken over the conversation as we are doing with it right now.
Right, now we're talking about this. But don't worry, it'll be in the title. So
yeah,
that's
so
good.
We can get clicks.
But like, because on the right, often, or not even, I'm not going to say the right, it's more of a the anti-SJW crowd, like YouTube skeptics, the classic liberals of the day, right-wing pundits, that whole sort of group have this complaint of like, oh, everything is racist now. If you don't like something, you say it's racist. And like, I'm sure there are some examples where like someone's like, that's racist and it's not. But like, now we're at this point where, I think maybe because Obama was the president and everyone's like, well, racism is done. Now, in order to be accepted as like, well, that was a racist thing, it has to be explicitly like, you're wearing a white hood and you're saying the N-word.
Yeah.
And you're being like the worst version of racism. Like, there was an article that was like, if Tucker Carlson is a racist, then what are the KKK members? They're also racist.
Like,
it's just, there are different degrees of it. And some people are a little sneakier about it. Some people aren't explicitly saying like the N-word, but like, that's... But racism isn't just that.
This isn't something that you and I have been talking about lately, is this frustration with, to use your word, disingenuousness of people. For example, when we're talking about Kavanaugh and they say, I don't know why Democrats are being so obstructionist. They know that he's going to get confirmed anyway. Yeah, you know what? We do know that he probably is. But that doesn't mean that we can't stop fighting for it. You know why this is important to us. You know that they need to fight because otherwise their base and that the rest half of the country will be upset. You understand the stakes. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean that you can't acknowledge what people are thinking. And I wish that we could just get back to that, or, you know, something like this. These people like so outraged that people are seeing this and like so angry
just let
that
them through.
People
like, it's going to happen. Just let
like,
it through.
And it's like, oh, yeah, with that. But then also like with so obsessed, like, why are you guys claiming racism? Everything's racism, because racism is a thing. And whether or not you agree with the fact that this cartoon is racist, you have to understand that people are victimized and they are being hurt by this, and that it exists and that we need to fix it. So let's just stop pretending like you don't get it, because you fucking get it.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
Yeah, no, it's true. They get it. The fact that that's the litmus test now is like, well, yeah, he wasn't, he's not in the KKK. He can't be racist.
Right off.
Yeah, he can. There's actually an amazing clip that probably you use at some point. It's a series of Tucker Carlson quotes on his show, and it's juxtaposed. He says a thing, and then they show another clip of literal neo-Nazis and like self-proclaimed white supremacists and like very like far-right, alt-right figures saying the exact same things.
Yeah.
Like, he's just
it's not surprising.
Their talking points. And he can like explain it away as much as he wants. Like, what? I really meant demographic. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean this. You're literally just doing this. And being able to recognize that doesn't make the left the real racists. Like, I've seen that too. Oh. Like, oh, the people on the left, they're the real racists. They notice when that guy used that phrase, monkey it up, which I had never heard that phrase before.
Well, it's not a phrase.
Well, apparently it is a phrase that... in the South.
That racists use?
That racists use, okay. Yeah. Like, it's something like a lot of mechanics use, apparently, in the South. Akin to another phrase I'd never heard, N-word rigging, mm-hmm. which is to do something poorly, and monkey it up is a similar phrase. But people will say, like, he said, like, what, here's Obama saying monkey around.
Different phrase. Serious?
It's literally a different phrase. You absolute maniacs. And, like, if I was reading a thread about, like, this phrase that I'd never heard before, and I was like, oh, so...
Also, did Obama say it about a black man?
No. He also didn't say it. But, like, being like, oh, no, this is actually a racist phrase. And it's like, well, I didn't know that. Like, and he probably didn't know that. And, like, you know it, so, like, you're kind of the racist. Knowing the history of the N-word doesn't make
you a racist.
Like, it's just more of the same crap. I have nothing to conclude.
Nothing further to add?
I'm not going to keep going. It's just frustrating.
We're... preaching to the choir here, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, it's I was gonna do a slight transition.
Oh,
I was thinking about it as we were talking, because so in the sense of, like, racism is either in the KKK or nothing. There's an interview that came out today with Norm MacDonald.
I didn't see it.
He's a brilliant comedian. He's one of the funniest people I could actually imagine. But he's got some very poorly informed opinions,
okay,
and about life in general, and, like, science and politics and society, possibly because he's a millionaire, sort of separated from that. But I will say I appreciate that he doesn't get political. Like, if you watch any of his shows, he's not, like, a political guy. He's just funny. So I really appreciate that. But in part of the interview, he mentioned that he didn't really know that racism was a thing until he saw Sacha Baron Cohen, his new show.
It's like, what?
That's a really recent show, man.
Pretty bad.
And that's not... Right, like, so...
Was that a bit?
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't do... bits about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't really believe in DNA and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then I was going
to... So a hero we can believe in.
A hero we can believe in. But he's so funny.
He is very funny.
But then he was talking about Me Too as well. Mm-hmm. And how, like, you know, people like Chris Hardwick sort of got a bad situation. You know, he feels bad for people like Chris Hardwick.
Tell me more.
Just, you know, and that, like, yeah, it was just this one woman who we have to believe now. And, you know, before it was like, oh, 30 women can't be lying. And now it's like, this woman can't be lying. And so he's sort of lamenting Louis C.K.'s career sort of imploding and things like that. And ready.
Okay. Now, speaking of sexism and corruption and general bad guys, salute you, general bad guys. Let's talk about that Cuomo Cynthia Nixon mailer.
The election is coming up.
Yes, that's the most important thing, is that the election's on Thursday, same day, well, that the hurricane hits. So
oh, cool East Coast.
I'm just putting
today.
That together right now. But yeah, so the please vote. If I could vote, I'd vote for Cynthia Nixon. And the last time we talked about Cynthia Nixon on this, a lot of people gave us flack, saying that Cuomo stands a better chance of winning in the general election. And I don't know if that's true.
I don't think that's true.
And regardless, if I stand behind this. If I people say, like, wouldn't you, if there was a Democratic candidate that was Donald Trump, if he was a Democrat, you would have voted for him. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have at all, because he's a bad guy, and that would be hard and difficult, but I wouldn't vote for him. And so, yeah, Cynthia Nixon doesn't have experience, but her ideas are spot on, and she's run a good campaign, and she's
trash.
And she's not Cuomo.
Like, Andrew Cuomo is a Republican who's, like, pretty okay with gay people getting married.
Yeah,
like,
and a lot of corruption. There's just a lot of corruption in his administration, even just that. Like, people, like, really close to him going to prison, and it's not good. But over the weekend, they sent out this mailer. The Democratic Party, the New York Democratic Party, sent out a mailer that slammed Cynthia Nixon is bad for Jewish people, that she's doesn't like Israel, and that she won't protect New York Jews, which is really baseless and shocking and insulting. I believe that her kids are Jewish. I believe the father of her kids are
Yeah, I mean, Jewish. She's got a lot of connections to Judaism.
Also, there's just no basis.
Right, also, it's just a smear.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, he's that's happened to him before. I think an old he was involved in another mailer incident. I believe it was like something about gay people, unfortunately. But yeah. Her response was very good.
I think she's quite articulate.
Like you could tell she's upset, but like she kept it together.
And she tells things like they are. You know, she doesn't like dance around. Like she's becoming a politician, but she's not doing the same politician song and dance or say talk by talking points. You know, she's pretty real.
Yeah.
And intelligent and knows her stuff from what I've seen.
Right. And it's just like her ideas are the future of the Democratic Party. And as much as you can say like, oh, she doesn't stand as much of a chance as Cuomo. You don't know that. And like, vote for the person that you want. Vote for the person that has the better ideas that you agree with.
Yes.
Like, just this whole like hedging our bets and like trying to play the reasonable thing. Why are we here? How did we get here? What year is it? Like, what year did we all go through already? This is just what happened last time. And like, I've even seen like people like, well, she's not experienced. Well, like, just like the reverse, like,
neither was Donald Trump.
Right. But like the reverse sexist thing where like people like complaining about Bernie and like, you just don't want to vote for Hillary because she's a woman. No. Here's a woman who has similar ideas that we support.
Or how we trash Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But and just like,
people are surprising us everywhere, so I have faith in you, New York, to at least vote for the right person.
Also, real quick, I just have one thing to add about Cynthia Nixon that I think is relevant and good, and why she's so much better than Andrew Cuomo. Recently, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he smoked a blunt. He didn't inhale. You can very much tell that he didn't inhale, but he did smoke it, and Cynthia made a statement about this, or basically just pointed out that there are so many people in prison for marijuana. Tesla drug tests its workers for marijuana. If anyone working for Elon Musk was smoking marijuana, they would not have a job.
Yeah.
He's allowed to go on and pretend to smoke it.
Yeah.
And she's just, I don't know, she's just very good about bringing like that main thing about marijuana and like the double standard and how much it affects certain communities negatively. She's very strong about always pointing to that. She's not like, economically, it would be good or like,
And she's concise. Like, she gets to the point and she's eloquent and she says it in a way that's like hard. It's impossible to deny, at least with that specific example, too. You know, I respect her.
Yeah, I want to endorse her further for everyone listening that can vote.
Do you have anything cute you want to share? Anything that you are enjoying?
I have a very cute photo of Maggie the dog sitting in the window like a cat.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah.
So we're going to post that on social media somewhere.
It's only for me.
Nah, we've already shared the story. Yeah, let the people see the cutie pie. I started the new season, The Great British Bake Off. Mm-hmm. And that's always a soothing balm for the soul.
Yeah.
And people should watch it. Cause
it's a very relaxing show.
I watch it and I realize that I'm just smiling really big. Except that there are a lot of like sexual jokes from Paul Hollywood and I still don't trust him, nor would I want to be alone in a room with him.
Yeah.
That's his general vibe that I get.
Yeah, he's got that vibe.
He's got a creep vibe for sure.
Don't have your last name be Hollywood.
Well, there's that.
Just like, don't
for
do that.
One.
Yeah.
I also just finished a book that I recommend probably for everybody, but probably more for the ladies, is What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding. And it's a memoir from Kristen Newman, who's a TV writer, and she's written for like Chuck and That 70s Show and many other shows. And it details her like late her 20s and 30s of just deciding she's going to go on travel and have all these adventures in between jobs and dealing with heartache and loss and all that. And it is really funny and relatable, and I loved it. Again, maybe best for the ladies, but it was inspiring, and now I'm probably going to go on another trip. Oh, boy.
That's super cool.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think that about does it for today. We're going to go eat dinner, or yeah. I am anyway.
I'll eat dinner eventually.
Cool.
Yeah. Got a book recommendation. Got a That's dog right. photo recommendation.
We love you so much, guys.
Oh, here's even more news. It's true. We love you so much.
Bye.